Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board and join in the dialogue and discussion on this broadcast each and every day. We attempt as much as possible to delve into very, very important issues, especially as the issues interface with what we see taking place in the biblical Christian world. May I say to you that I believe it is a responsibility on the part of each believer that we keep abreast of what God is doing so that we can recognize God's hand at work in the prophetic scene in our nation and around the globe. I believe the Bible says it very well. And I believe if the Bible says it, that settles it. It's true without any question or alteration. But just as God's Word tells us, ladies and gentlemen, we're aware of the fact that in, according to Matthew chapter 24, and it's a fantastic theological text, Matthew 24 and Mark chapter 13 deal with, and Luke chapter 24 deals with the future prophetic events, Luke 21 also, future prophetic events. And as we look at those prophetic events, we need to understand what's happening today. We're going to talk about some of those things, prophecy being fulfilled. One of those things that we'll look at, by the way, so that you can be ready to dial the number, join in the dialogue and discussion today. Joe Biden has just agreed, hear me well, Joe Biden has just agreed to put the United States of America under the World Health Organization to be the ruler, the king over what we do, what we say, and where we go in the event of a health emergency. I'm going to talk about that as one of the key components of what we're dealing with today on the prophetic future of the world and of the United States of America. Prophecy being fulfilled. I pray that you'll join this dialogue and discussion right after our monologue, and there will be a brief monologue right after the monologue. We're going to invite you to call in. That call-in number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We look forward to your dialogue and discussion on the issue that we're speaking of today. And may I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, when we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, made a very clear dogmatic declaratory statement. He says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Then in John 17, 17, the Lord Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that ought to grasp our attention. We ought to look at it very seriously and understand there are no, by the way, there are no errors in the Scripture. There are no contradictions in the Scripture. There are no false text in the Scripture. There are some of the loose likes lost liberals today that want to tell you that you can't look at the Bible to be literal. They'll tell you that you can't look at the Bible as being a chronological book. They'll tell you that you can't believe all that the Bible says. You must not interpret it literally. But ladies and gentlemen, if we do not interpret it literally, everyone has an edge on what they believe the Scripture is saying. This is the reason we need to go back to the truth book. What does the Word of God say? And it comes into the realm of what's called contextualization of the Scripture, looking at context and context, context. The Scripture says in Psalms 117, verse 2, the word of the Lord endures forever. It's not passing. It's not something that is up for a debate or a marketing device to be used. It is a fact. It is truth. And the truth of the Lord endures forever. Of course, we're living in a society today where there's a mindset that you don't have to believe truth. There's a mindset that everybody has his own truth. There's a mindset that follows the secularist George Orwell that made the statement in his dystopian novel entitled 1984. By the way, that was written, published back in, I believe, 47, 48, and 49. The title of the book was 1984, Projecting What America Would Be Like, the World Would Be Like in 1984. Much of his conclusions have come to pass as being real. He was just off on the date and the time. But he said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that to be absolutely true today. We need to recognize that truth endures forever. That's the truth of the Word of God. But ladies and gentlemen, many, in fact, the greater majority of our youth today, the 18 to 35-year-old age group, made this statement, and I quote, this is out of the Absolute Survey on the Facts, because 55% of Americans, 18 to 35-year-old age group, that's the millennials, say that each person determines their own version of truth. Their own version of truth. This is the reason, if I can just touch on this without delving into it for the whole broadcast today. This is the reason when you look at what is happening in Asbury, at the Asbury College, one young man stands up in a chapel service at the closing part of the chapel and confesses his sins publicly, confesses that he has committed sin. I don't know what the word, we've not been told, confesses it and repents of it and asks God to forgive him. He did that publicly. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the start of revival. Now, we cannot conclude that what's happening at Asbury is, in fact, a de facto revival until after the event. When after the event, if there are those that have said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior, they've recommitted their lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, they're connecting them with a local New Testament church where they can plug in and learn the Word, study the Word, live the Word, and be a witness for others to know the Word and to say yes to Jesus Christ, then we might be able to look back and say that was a revival. But until we can look back in retrospect and determine, we don't know. But ladies and gentlemen, I am thankful that we see multitudes in that age group, at least what you could put in the category of seeking to have a relationship with God. And so I'm thankful for what we see in that realm, because the majority of those in that age group refuse to believe the truth. They believe that each one has his own truth, and that's the furthest thing from truth, if I might say that. This is the reason I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And I pray that that's what we will see and understand the need to take truth seriously and to listen to, learn, and seek the truth, love the truth, telling the truth, living it. And I believe we're nearing the day when it will be a life or death scenario to defend the truth of the Word of God. We're finding the persecution and prosecution of Christians. We'll talk about that also in the broadcast today. The persecution and prosecution of Christians intensifying in America today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, 165-foot flagpole with U.S. flag Old Glory flowing 24/7. Base of that flagpole, you'll find the family, the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions. They're hiring the house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing all of the family of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm concerned about where we stand in America and our interest in what is happening in our great nation. The scripture is very clear in Psalms chapter 11 and verse 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? It's a powerful question. And I believe the answer to that is very simply that we need to pray. We need to seek God's face. We need to turn from our wicked ways, as the scripture says. We need to confess our sins personally and the sins of our nation and ask God to heal our land. 2 Chronicles 7:14 outlines that pretty well as the, if you please, the recipe of reaching out to God and seeking relief for our nation. But ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about today, prophecy being fulfilled. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Love to hear from you. Ladies and gentlemen, Matthew chapter 24, I'm not going to try to teach verse by verse, Matthew chapter 24. Wonderful study. If we had about 4 or 5 hours, we could go through it verse by verse, and I believe it would be edifying, beneficial, challenging, inspirational, and encouraging for you, because it opens the Pandora's box, if you will, of what God has in store for this old world in the last of the last days. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, is very, very clear that in the last days, perilous times shall come. The word perilous means dark, dangerous, devastating, difficult, deadly. We're living in those very days, and Matthew chapter 24 outlines it succinctly as to what to expect in these last days. There are about 5 things that I have concluded, summarized for the benefit of what we talk about today, about 5 things that I believe we can expect to take place in the last days. Matthew 24, verse 5 says that the false preachers, false teachers, deceiving many. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the first indicator, the first sign of the last days. And we're living in those days. We see a proliferation of the false teachers on the broad scene across America and, yea, around the world. Those that are coming on the scene, supposedly finding things and nuances of things that nobody's ever seen, nobody's ever heard of, biblically speaking. And secondly, ladies and gentlemen, verse 6 of Matthew chapter 24 says there will be wars and rumors of wars. Wars, and the word rumors means rumblings. That indicates, ladies and gentlemen, there's a constant rumbling of wars, according to the scripture, that will be one of the signs, one of the evidences that we're in the last days. And I contend that we need to recognize that we are in the last of the last days, because pretty soon it'll be too late to turn back. Pretty soon it'll be too late to do anything to modify the trajectory in which we're headed in the United States of America. Verse 7 in Matthew 24 says, nation against nation. That word nation is the word ethnos. We get our word ethnicity. We're finding ethnic wars today as not seen in recent history, especially in America. Pandora's box has been opened with the Project 1619 being taught in our public schools. Pandora's box has been opened with the CRT being taught in our public schools and even in the colleges and universities on the graduate, postgraduate level. It is bringing about a racial division that I thought back in the 60s we had cured. Yes, there'll still be hearts and lives, both white and black. They will have hardened hearts toward others. The Bible is very, very clear. The heart of man is wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9 tells us. But ladies and gentlemen, I did not expect to have a president that will be churning the pot, as the old cliche goes, churning the ethnic wars and the rumors of wars involved therein. But ladies and gentlemen, let me recap now quickly. False preachers, teachers, deceiving many. First sign. Secondly, wars and rumors of wars. Third, nation against nation, ethnos, ethnicities against ethnicities, ethnic division. By the way, let me tug this in. Karl Marx had 10 major points in Marxism. The top three, I just plucked out of the 10, the top three is to destroy the nuclear marriage, nuclear family. And the second is to divide the nation by race. And thirdly, to dethrone God. And that's on the fast track for all three of those to, as we watch them taking place today. And ladies and gentlemen, the fourth thing that we find in Matthew 24, verse 7, famines, diseases, that's pestilences, translated diseases, famines and diseases and earthquakes in diverse places. We're watching now the earthquakes that are rattling some of the Middle East, what is taking place in relationship, a 7.8 earthquake, then tremors and aftershocks. Then just day before yesterday, 6.3 earthquake collapsing and destroying. I don't know the numbers, but I project that it's probably well over 50,000 to 60,000 people that have been known to be killed in those earthquakes. But ladies and gentlemen, that is becoming the norm and not the unusual when we find that. It's because God's word said it. It is taking place. And then, ladies and gentlemen, the fifth thing is Christian persecution and prosecution. We find that in verse 9 and verse 12 in Matthew chapter 24. So with that as a starting point to make us understand, ladies and gentlemen, that we are in the last of the last days. We are watching prophecy being fulfilled. And some of those things that fall into the realm of prophetic understanding without listing them as a identity in absolute in the scripture, we can see the handwriting on the wall. For example, now I'm looking at a newsletter from Tony Perkins. Subject matter: intolerance toward Christianity is increasing, so is the hostility to churches in America. Looking at the facsimile in the article that I have of a small church, the front of the church, it's got it marked up with spray paint, all of the brick walls, all of the windows, all of the doors, with different slurs and statements in relationship to Christianity in the church. And Tony Perkins' newsletter says, the problem of acts of hostility against churches in the United States is widespread and growing rapidly. This is not a trend that should be shrugged off and ignored. The warnings of the FRC, that's the Family Research Council's new report said, hostility against churches is on the rise in the United States. FRC analyzed publicly available data from the past 5 years and found at least 420 acts of hostility against the U.S. churches that occurred between January 2018 and September 2022 across America. Further says in the article, the types of acts identified included 342 vandalism occurrences, 58 arson attacks, 12 gun-related incidents, 11 bomb threats, and 19 other incidents. Quote, we found that acts of hostility against churches are increasing and had nearly tripled over the course of the reporting period of time. Further in the article, it says, as Christians, we must not be intimidated or give in to fear or discouragement. Remember the Apostle Paul's words to Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Acts 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 and chapter 1, verse 7. He further states this, acts of hostility against churches are a threat to religious freedom. As citizens of this country, our response should be to condemn these acts and uphold our nation's First Amendment. Ladies and gentlemen, with all that I'll say today in relationship to what we see taking place prophetically, it affects our First and Second Amendment more than anything else. Our First Amendment, the religious freedom, the freedom of speech. Our Second Amendment, talking about the right to keep and bear arms to protect us from harm and danger coming from the government in particular. This article goes on to say, hostility against churches are a threat to religious freedom. As citizens of this country, our response should be to condemn these acts and uphold our nation's First Amendment. Our Constitution protects the right of all people to worship and to live their faith freely and without fear. Ladies and gentlemen, that's guaranteed in our Constitution. But Joe Biden, as you recall, has said that there's nothing in our Bill of Rights that's absolute. Under the Biden doctrine, ladies and gentlemen, the Bill of Rights are simply in a state of flux. Under the Biden doctrine, the Bill of Rights are not poured in concrete. Under the Biden doctrine, you can whittle away, modify, and remove any part, any portion, if not all, of our Bill of Rights. And ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the political move to destroy the sovereignty of the United States of America. It's one of the primary things we'll talk about in this broadcast today. One of the major prophetic events, ladies and gentlemen, we'll see forming today is what I have said. Listen very carefully. I've said for over a year that we're watching the start of World War III. We're watching the start of World War III. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that it is a fantastic opportunity for us, we as Christians, to take a stand and say we're not going to bow, we're not going to bend, we're not going to be in the position that we're fearful of what the government is doing. But at the same time, the things that's taking place that will introduce the United Nations as the authoritative arm to enforce the Biden doctrine in America. I'm looking, ladies and gentlemen, Proverbs 29, verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. I believe we're in a state of mourning in America today, perhaps as never before in the history of our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we're watching the major, major, major events of the prophetic text coming to fruition. In fact, in Revelation chapter 6, verse 5 and following, it talks about the food product, there being a famine of food where it will cost a day's wages to buy a loaf of bread. Now, that might sound far out to us today. That might sound to be a distant future to us today. But, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says it, and we're on the fast track for that. And war, if we go into enter into a full-fledged world war, which I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we're headed on a fast track into that, I believe we will see major, major, major catastrophic events in the food product, the clothing, and so forth that we'd have available. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that I believe would be needful for us to understand what is happening. In fact, Glenn Beck says this, "These signs show we're moving toward the World War III." Very brief article, but I've got several others that will basically elongate that for our understanding. It seems, this article says, it seems like we're going to be helping Ukraine indefinitely. And now President Biden has announced that we're paying Ukrainian pensions, but it gets worse. This article states, Glenn Beck demonstrates how signs today show we're following the same pattern that eventually resulted in World War I. And thanks to our government leaders, including our own, continuing to escalate tension between the world's most powerful nations, it seems that we may be marching toward World War III. Ladies and gentlemen, President Trump thinks so also. I'm looking at an article that says, Trump issues a dire warning on World War III. Former President Donald J. Trump proclaimed that World War III has never been closer than it is right now. And he said, we could end the Ukrainian conflict in 24 hours with the right leadership. He goes further. He called on getting rid of the corrupt global establishment that has botched every major foreign policy decision for decades. That includes President Biden, end quote. Further, Trump has been sounding the alarm of Ukraine as the catalyst for an impending global war for many months now. On Monday, at Monday night's rally, he sent out a message on his Truth Social platform, quote, if you watch and understand the moves being made by Biden on Ukraine, he is systematically, but perhaps unknowingly, pushing us into what could soon become World War III. He's crazy, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the globe being moved into World War III. We're watching what Ezekiel 38:39 calls the war with Russia, where Russia leads a five-nation coalition to come against Israel, and then it proliferates into a global world war. We'll talk about that further, but those five nations, Russia leading Germany, Iran, Syria, Turkey, and Libya, according to Ezekiel 38:39. What we're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, is watching the prophetic hand of God as we see these things take place. It's not just man doing it. God is supernaturally, sovereignly in control. God's word said it. That settles it. It'll happen. But, ladies and gentlemen, we're free moral agents. We can make a decision to do or not to do that which is evil, wicked, and wrong. And it seems as though Joe Biden has his mind set on the destruction, the annihilation of the very warp and woof that is the very fabric of the United States of America. I think that it is incredulous, to say the least, that we have a leader in America, a presidential leader, that does not believe in America, does not want America. Going back to the Obama doctrine that said that America should not be a superpower, America ought not to be any stronger, any larger, or have a greater military power than any other nation on the globe. What we see is the whittling down, the destroying of the superpower called the United States of America. Here's another headline. I'll read it, and then I'll take our caller. War is on the way. Warning is blared after Hawaii gets lasered. War is on the way. China expert Gordon Chang is warning after a little reported incident in which Chinese satellites lasered the state of Hawaii, end quote. We'll look at that a little further in just a moment. I believe we have Tom on the line. Tom, go with your question, comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood, as a little bit of a jest, don't worry about a thing. The LGBTQT, they're going to grab M16s, run to the front lines and defend us, jump in the fighter jets. I'm telling you, you ain't got a thing to worry about. The transsexuals, yeah, they'll be taking care of everything, but that's sad. But do you think that China will invade Taiwan? Because that will give them an excuse to supply weapons to Russia. And things are getting pretty dicey about Taiwan. They're the top chip maker in the world. And now the chips are so sophisticated, China can't operate a modern military without them. Do you think that that's the next thing on the close horizon?
Absolutely, unequivocally. It's not a matter of if China attacks and retakes Taiwan. It's a matter of when. Not an if, but when. And I believe right now China's flexing its muscles to see what America would do. And if China were to invade Taiwan tomorrow, I believe sleepy Joe Biden would do nothing. He would declare it is bad. He would declare that it's wrong. He would chide China publicly, but he would do nothing. Just as we see his incrementally getting America further and further embedded in a combat with Russia, he will do the same thing in relationship to what China's doing. The reason Joe Biden cannot do anything against China, the reason Joe Biden cannot take a stand against China, the reason Joe Biden will only give some lip service for the protection of America, the reason Joe Biden waited for a week before the spy balloon from Russia was cruising all over America, the reason he could do nothing is because he is a pawn bought and paid for by Xi out of China. He is the one that is the puppet for the Chinese Communist Party and government. If you were to look at the details, I'm prayerful that the Republican Party will now bring about to the full forefront for Americans to see. If you look at the details, I believe there's something like 157 different financial transactions that the government's already aware of. They're illicit, illegal transactions of Hunter Biden dealing with Russia and with China and with Ukraine. I believe that when the truth is known, if it's ever fully known, we'll understand why Joe Biden cannot come against and do anything against China. He's bought, paid for, owned, and controlled by China. So if China were to invade Taiwan tomorrow, yes, and I believe that's on the horizon, Joe Biden would do nothing substantial. He might give some lip service, but he'd do nothing in relationship to that.
Dr. Youngblood, I've known you for 6-7 years, and I've spoken with you and your wife, and I'd like the listeners to know that you don't talk about it, but your wife was telling me about how early you're up in the morning, and she helps you greatly with these articles you talk about. That I think she said you were going through at one time around 5,000 articles a week to glean the information. But isn't your job getting easier because you don't have to search now? It's becoming the daily headline of what you're saying, that it's actually getting easier, isn't it?
Absolutely. There's a plethora of information out there. Most of it you find online. Some of it you have to search and dig for simply because it is sequestered, blocked, and prevented to be in the public hands. But I am delighted that she does a lot of the research. I have two or three other major ones that dig in articles and send them to me via email that I'll have when I open my email in the morning. I have literally hundreds of different articles there. It is a major task of diving into the deep dive and pulling out those that are pertinent to what I'm talking about that day. But Tom, we're up against the hard break for our news. Thank you so much for calling. Thank you for your question and the input. I pray that you'll have a wonderful day. Keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today prophecy being fulfilled. We're watching the hand of God through the Word of God jumping off the pages of God's Word and fulfilling what the Word of God says is going to take place each and every day. We're coming up on the news break, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.